Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have Terrell Jackson.
What's up?
Why are you laughing when I introduce yourself?
You say I have my two brothers.
No, not today. And I have Todd Jackson with me.
Hello.
Todd Jackson, how are you?
Good.
Good. How was your guys this week? I'm going to go straight into it.
Good.
You know,
school's out.
School's out?
School's out. Baseball's over.
School's out. Baseball's over. And what's going on with the day? You have the kids?
Working out now.
Working out?
I should have been working
out. Wait, you're working out? You got the kids working out?
No, they're not working out. Women. But more time for myself.
Good, man.
So,
how
into it.
How many days have you been working out?
It's day three, I think. Day three?
Okay.
It's Wednesday, so Monday.
It's good. How you feel? Sore?
A lot better.
Good.
I'm going slow. Because normally I go crazy. I try to run my 3 miles in the first day.
Yeah.
But now I'm going
gradual.
Slow. Yeah.
Very good. Taj, how was your week?
Working out, Taj?
No, not working out. Oh, walking around a lot. It's good. It's good. I have an anniversary coming up in 2 days, so it's been crazy because trying to figure out where to go and all that stuff.
What year anniversary?
4 year.
Wedding 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, June 16th. So, that's
congratulations, Tom.
Yeah, I don't want to say where we're going because I don't want
because you don't know.
Up.
Are you going? You're not going
do
out of town.
You already have a plan.
Well, what's define out of town? I'm going out of my circle. Like you know,
so
my,
Todd, out of your
circle. Out of your circle,
Ventura
like a
Boulevard.
Yeah,
5 mile radius.
I'm going at least 2 hours away.
All right, good.
So is that good?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. That's nice.
Congratulations, yeah. Todd. I'm proud of you for taking
for venturing out.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a, now that you bring anniversary, I better mention mine.
Yeah, you better.
Because I have a 10-year anniversary in 2 weeks, June 28th,
2000. Have you planned for that too?
Have I planned? I'm starting to.
Yeah.
I'm starting to. I can't tell you what the plan is either.
You're not the one doing the planning.
I actually am, but I have
you're a little too calm.
A little help too.
Yeah,
so it's not just me doing the planning.
All right.
Yeah, but that's
a little too calm in that look right there. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. No, it'll be good. It'll be good. Okay, we're live on the Power of Love Radio Show. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we're going to open up the phone lines. Of course, there's Twitter. We're opening up and. Todd, you want to give the Twitter handle?
Sure. It's at DDJ Foundation.
So we're going to open up Twitter. It's already opened. So you can start commenting, contributing to our show. But we're going to open up phone lines shortly at 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. Now, for the quick disclaimer, we are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it. We've learned from it. And we just want to share our opinions, our experiences, in hopes it helps you. Now, I kind of rushed through that. I'm feeling like I'm rushing through the intro because I've been here sitting with our guest. And I think she has some awesome things to share. And I don't want to be short on time. I want to give her proper time because I think I just love what our discussion was. And I think she can really help and empower our listeners and I just think I want to get right into it. So, is that you guys good with that?
Yeah.
Cool. Like, we don't have a choice anyway,
yeah,
right?
I was gonna say.
All right. Well, today's guest, we all know from our past, from our childhood, really. Today's guest is the mother of Mara Green, who we've had on and we need to have back on, but she was on probably 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the end of two. No, not that long ago. Maybe 4 or 5 months ago. But also the mother-in-law, our guest is, of Louis Tapia, who, as you guys know, is like a brother to us. And we had on maybe 6 weeks ago talking about education in school and all that stuff. So today's guest, though, is Lynn Bresnahan.
You said it right.
I said it right, right?
You did.
And what is so cool about Lynn is that she is one of the most positive, upbeat person I've definitely experienced in a long time. But what's cool is that she's I'm going to say this. I got to say this. Be careful with how I say this. I don't want to say it's cool, but she's, if you knew, by the way you act, Lynn, I wouldn't know what you were dealing with and what you had to go through.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Lynn survived and beat, I will say, cancer. She's a cancer survivor. And Lynn, I don't know. There's so many things I want to talk to you about, but first I want to thank you for being on our show and for sharing your story.
It's my pleasure, really.
And what I learned, you know, 20 minutes ago before we went on the air is that you've done public speaking for quite a long time.
20 years, over 20 years.
So I was wondering how you are so, you're a great communicator, you're very comfortable. And
I don't know how I got here. Honestly, I do not. I was not born that way.
But you're that way now, and that's the thing. Because I wish I could be. I think we're getting there, the three of us.
We're working on it.
Yeah, you know, then we were always shy and you know.
Yeah, well,
introverted.
I don't have the world staring at me like the three of you. But you know what? When you have something to say, it's empowering.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Especially when you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's different.
Yeah.
But getting up and sharing a story with people and knowing that it's going to help impact others' lives.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely empowering.
So, Lynn, you said earlier that in your speeches, you have a quote. I think you said you end your speeches with, and it is, you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give.
Yes.
Explain that. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Well,
but
yeah, obviously, you know, what you do for a living, you're earning a living. But sharing and giving, love isn't having. Love is giving. And so giving information and sharing all of this with people is empowering, and it helps other people.
Definitely.
So to share your story, it helps free other people of whatever they're going through.
So, and right before we went on the air, the last thing I'll say about that is you are very open. You said everything's open. Discuss
Absolutely.
Whatever you want.
I have nothing to hide. You can ask me anything you want.
I love it. Okay. So, and another thing we said, I know I just said I wouldn't say that, but another thing we said before, sorry.
He's so
10
funny.
Seconds ago.
Is I apologize to you because I didn't know the proper process or the proper order of what cancer is. Someone is diagnosed with cancer.
Breast cancer.
Okay. So in your case, you were diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yes.
And then did you have to go through chemo or any type
No, I am very blessed. I don't have to go through chemo or radiation.
Okay.
At all. I have a very rare cancer, and I believe that it came from cystic problems that I had in my breast many years. I had a doctor watching me for 10 years. But we don't know. I mean, there's no real answer. But I am very blessed that I don't have to do chemo or radiation.
May I ask your age?
Yeah, I'm going to be 67.
And then when did you first start? My wife is 41. I know it depends on if it runs in the family, those kind of things.
Right, my mother had it.
So your mother had it. When did you first start checking out yourself or checking
to see
if you
had it?
Well,
you have to start having mammograms at 40. And so I've always had cystic breasts, always, and it was just a problem. And so, and I also had implants, and there was a problem with them, and I had the silicone implants put in probably 1978 or 79 before they really knew and understood, and they opened up inside of me. Mm-hmm. And so I had silicone running through my breasts. So we went in, we took it out, we put another set of implants in, they were saline, which is what they usually use now, and there was an infection. And so this side where the breast cancer was exactly where the infection was. So, you know, I don't know exactly where it came from, but I think there is a correlation.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the doctors will say no, but I believe there is.
Mm.
So I never put them back in again at that time. And so I've been watching this for over 10 years, but women need to go and have mammograms. I mean, you know, women are afraid.
Were you afraid?
No. I'm not one of those afraid women. Even before this happened, I am very proactive about my health. But, I mean, who likes getting their breasts slammed in the machine to get a mammogram? I mean, it's not a comfortable feeling. Mm-hmm. I think if men had to do it, they wouldn't do it.
Nope.
You guys are a bunch of
wussies. Right.
But, you know, I've had one every year, and this year, when I went in 9 weeks ago, it was actually the radiologist who was amazing, because this guy specializes in breast cancer over at the Women's Tarzana Diagnostic Center. And he said to me, you know, this looks like scar tissue from the infection, but there's something off. He could have easily said, eh, it's scar tissue. Mm-hmm. We saw it last year. No big deal. He said, let's do an ultrasound. Wow. We did the ultrasound. He said, Lynn, you know, I still think it's scar tissue, but I'm not really sure. He said, I want to do a needle biopsy. Okay, great. We did the needle biopsy. 2 days later, he called me, and I was sitting getting my nails done. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sitting getting my nails done. He says, can you take the call? I said, sure. He says, it's malignant. Mm. I said, okay, I'm sitting here at the nail shop. Now I can freak out, or I can just, okay, Lynn, just breathe and deal with this. So I sat there and I said, okay, what do I need to do? And he said, you need to get to a surgeon. You need to, you know, he gave me all these things. I said, okay. At that point, I hung up, called my kids who were crazed. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, we're not going down that pity path. We're going to just get this taken care of. And within 3 weeks, I had the breast surgeon, the plastic surgeon, and was ready to do what I needed to do.
And just for the listeners out there, when you say your kids, can you give
the
makeup?
Age?
Yeah, the age and makeup.
Oh, they're going to love
know,
this.
Yeah.
Or just, oh, or just a ballpark.
Around about that, because
yeah, no.
They're adults.
People think they're kids
oh,
are 8
no,
years
no.
old.
Oh, no. Mara and Louie are in their 40s, mm-hmm. mid-40s. Michael
yeah.
is in
they're
his mid-form.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're our
yeah, they're
age.
Your
okay.
age.
Okay.
They went to school.
Yeah. And what... This story is so sweet but sad. My granddaughter, Charlie, mm-hmm. she lost her doggie last year. So Mara mm-hmm. said, you know, they took the dog to the hospital and they had to put the dog to sleep. So
is this
Charlie,
Easton,
yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
You didn't know?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was a year ago. And so Charlie, Mara came and said, Granny's in the hospital. She had surgery. And Charlie said, well, what's she doing? And she said, well, she's sleeping. Charlie thought I died.
Mm.
They put Granny down.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
That's very sad.
So she had to bring her to the hospital to show her Granny was still breathing. Anyway.
Real quick, yeah, I want to back up because you said something that I thought was important. You said women are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain why that is? I kind of understand that, but I just want to know the reasons why they're afraid and what's the alternative. What's, you know what I mean?
I think women are afraid because who wants to hear the answer? You've got cancer. You know, and it's so much in the public, in the media, and everything's about breast cancer, which, by the way, is not what kills women. The biggest cause of death in women is heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But who wants to hear about breast cancer and go through this thing? And women don't like, again, the mammogram and... It's scary. But the
right.
alternative is you either get strong, find your strength, do something about it, or you can possibly die.
Yeah.
Were you always this strong in the process? When you did you have a low moment? Did you have a low time or
you know what? I started reading this book about 4 weeks before I got diagnosed. It's called Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. And she's brilliant. And she talks about the fact that we're born to love. We're not born with fear mm-hmm. and anger and hate and all these things. And she talks about people that have cancer and AIDS and how you have to deal with it. And I just happened to be reading this book. My girlfriend told me about it. And so, no, I have not had one low moment in the last 6 weeks of this process.
So when you said you happened to be reading the book, mm-hmm. it wasn't related to you being diagnosed?
No, it was 4 weeks before I was diagnosed.
Wow.
It was... a gift from God, as far as I'm
wow,
concerned.
Wow, yes.
It was amazing.
When you got the news that you had cancer,
right?
You were already probably in a strong sense of
mind. I was in a very strong mode. It was, I mean, I don't think I was really surprised because my mother had breast cancer in both breasts, mm-hmm. and it was a year apart, and she died from it.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow in the back of my mind, I always thought I was going to end up with breast cancer. I don't know why, but...
Mm-hmm.
But the old me, had I not been reading this book and thinking about dealing with my strength instead of my weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have just sat down and fell apart.
Return to Love by Marianne Williamson.
Yeah.
I got to check that out.
Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful book.
I got to check that out.
You really do.
What advice or what would you say to someone who learned they just got diagnosed with cancer?
go into driver mode, as my beautiful friend Sally says, go into driver mode. If you sit there and you, oh my God, and what's going to happen, and worry about dying, and all of this stuff, you're going to accomplish nothing. Like, you know, the deer in the headlights. Immediately, I called. I was referred to a breast surgeon, and who was Dr. Lana Louie, who is this little lady who's 5 feet one, adorable, young. I asked her if she was old enough to drive. She got insulted. And then get a breast plastic surgeon so that if you want to be put back together, mm-hmm. you know, I had no question that I wanted him to rebuild my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. You've got to get into the mode of, what am I going to do? How am I going to save my life and deal with this? And that's what I did. I never sat and thought about it. I've not sat and cried. I have done nothing but just go.
Interesting. That's great.
Wow. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hello? Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
I'm Gil from the Netherlands.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm listening to your radio now. And I want to call in for the topic about cancer.
Yes,
so,
let's hear.
Oh, I'm good. I'm nervous.
Don't worry. Take a deep breath. Don't you worry about a thing. We got you. What's the question you got for us?
Well, it's not really a question, I guess, but my dad has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 years, he has cancer again. And they don't know. They can't help him, because his heart can't deal with it. And now the problem is he can't get chemotherapy or lightning therapy. So there's a problem. He can't get help. His heart has to be fixed.
Hmm.
And now I don't know how to deal with it. I'm like waiting for the day that my mom calls and she says your dad passed away, because the doctor can't do anything for him now, so
yeah.
It's really hard this time
for
me.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we're so sorry to hear that. It sounds like your father has cancer, and he's in a stage where he can't, you know, at this moment be cured. Is that correct?
Sorry, I didn't get what you said. I'm so nervous.
Yeah,
no, it's okay.
Don't be nervous.
It's terminal.
Lynn, what would you say? I mean, this isn't completely your story, but you've know more about cancer and you have more experience in life on us. So what would you advise?
Well, it sounds like your father's terminal and it's not going to be a good outcome, obviously. But for you, I think, do you believe in God?
Oh, yeah.
Do you go to church?
I do. No, I'm a Muslim, so I pray every night to Allah that he can help my dad.
Well, you know, the whole time that I was going through this, not knowing what my end result was going to be, I prayed. I just said, you know, I'm releasing my mind and my body to God, and I don't have any control over this. And you have to find the strength for your father, but mostly for yourself, because falling apart isn't going to do any good, right?
Yeah.
And if you have a strong faith, you know, there's a reason this happens. We don't know, but I think that you really need to look within yourself and say, you know, what do I do to make this situation better for all of us while I'm going through it? The time to fall apart, if you're going to fall apart, is later, not right now.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, it is. And I'm acting like I don't care, but I obviously I do care. And my dad is acting like he don't care, so I don't know how to handle and how to react to him. So the only thing I can give him is love, and I give him more love I ever had in my life. So it's so hard, because I'm the only one from my two sisters. I have two sisters, and they're a little far away, so I'm the one who's dealing the most of time with them. So.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother is also dealing all the time with my dad, and she lost her father from the same cancer my daddy has. So mm-hmm. I don't know how to have them on my shoulders. It's so heavy. But
yeah.
I think you need to talk about
just
it,
like
too.
I said, I'm praying all the time for my dad and also for my mom, because she wants to get through hell. And I don't hope she has to get through hell again with my dad, because they can do anything about him now, and that's so a problem. But he has also maybe he has to get a dialysis, and he can't get a dialysis because of his heart. He can't get chemo or lightning because of his heart. So the only thing we can pray now is that the hospital's gonna call soon for an operation, and I pray to God that the operation is gonna be good and soon, so that they can begin before I get a call. And this is why I always say on Instagram, I write to you, go with you. You have to think about yourself at the first time and then your kids. And I love the things you do on Instagram. I follow you because you guys really give me strength, like 20 years ago after my coma. So you guys are amazing. Mm-hmm. Do what you do. You're such a powerful love. You give so much power to the people in the world. And, oh, I love you so much. All of you.
We love you too.
I don't know what to say anymore.
We love you too.
Thank you so much.
We don't have the same experience that you have, and we're not going through what you're going through. But we hope you know we're with you, and any way we can help, we want to help. I think what Lynn said is right. As much as you can, just be strong and think positive, because you don't want to beat yourself up or go, you know, you think about what your parents would want from you. They want you strong and happy and to move forward and to make the best of the situation. I think what Lynn said earlier was, I think you do have to open up and talk to friends and talk to people about what you're going through. Don't keep it bottled in, because it sounds like, to me, it sounds like you try to carry a lot. And that's a dangerous recipe. You want to make sure you're getting it out yourself, you know?
Yeah, thanks to you guys. In September, I met a couple of girls in Amsterdam. Thanks to you, I can talk about. They're amazing. Treaty family is amazing. Aww. I can't say anything else about it. And really, we have a support from each other. It's amazing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Much.
And we love you, and we're with you, okay? So stay strong. Okay, and we'll be
thanks.
Praying and wishing for the absolute best for you and your family.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. That's a tough one.
Very tough.
Tough one.
Well, you know, what she said was interesting. She doesn't know what to say. When you ignore the subject with your family members, it makes it worse. It's like the elephant in the room. You have to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, not to the point where you're making everybody crazy, but if you have something, you need to share it. You have to get your feelings out there.
Lynn, that's something a lot of people struggle with. Even I think we do. I can say I do. I think our whole family does. And I think a lot of people do. And why I'm saying this is because I don't feel like you and your family ever really struggled with that. I feel, when I think about Mare is so open, you know, she's not shy to talk about anything, right? So was that something that you came from your parents, or is that something you did?
No, are you kidding
me? Is that just something you believe strongly in, or you saw and you made sure your kids were like that? Or
I have always been one of those people that it's like, put it out there, you know? And I raised my kids to know that they had the responsibility to tell me what they thought. They were entitled to their feelings. I didn't have to agree with them.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and Mara was really tough. Michael was pretty easy. Mara was tough, and especially because she lost her dad when she was 15.
Yeah.
You guys know what that's like as a parent. But she is a strong woman, and I am so happy that my kids are like that and my grandkids. It's important.
Yeah.
You know, my parents, I don't know about your parents, but my parents, we weren't allowed to talk. It's like, you know, you sit at the dinner table and you speak when you're spoken to.
No,
you got to raise your kids with them knowing that you love them and they can say anything they want. You don't have to agree, but just let them have that.
I love it.
Good point.
All right, so we're gonna take another phone call. Who do we have with us on the line?
Hi, my name is Carol. And I had a relative, actually it was my cousin's wife, she had breast cancer in 1997. And I have my regrets because I should have went back east. I should have went and taken her to the doctor. I should have forced her. I didn't push her. I said, are you going to the doctor? And she didn't. And then she passed away in 1997. So I just regret that.
So you feel like you're living with that guilt?
Not really. It was like a big loss, you know, and everything. And, you know, and I have friends with breast cancer right now. So it's like, what can I be doing for my friends who are struggling with that?
You can be supportive, Carol. Why didn't you said your cousin is the one that died?
My cousin's wife.
Oh, your cousin's wife. Why did she not go to the doctors?
Maybe she was afraid because there was a history of it in her family, her mother and her grandmother and everything. And I'm thinking when people have a history, you better go fast to the doctor. I go every year to the doctor.
Good.
How old are you, Carol?
I'm going to be 58 on Saturday.
Oh, you sound young. Okay. Do you go for a yearly mammogram?
Yes, I do.
Well, you know, you have friends that have cancer. The best thing you can do, like we said before, is make sure that you talk about it. Let them talk about their feelings. You know, and be supportive.
Yeah.
Be very supportive. But
I'll probably run and be with them or whatever, you know, just the way I am.
Good.
And I mean, I think another thing is I think people as a whole don't do enough reading and self-empowering. I really don't. So I think piggybacking off of what Lynn said, I haven't read the book, but A Return to Love
by Marianne Williamson.
I think encouraging, because the mind's very powerful. So I think if you can encourage your friends who are going through this to try to uplift their spirits as a friend, that's doing a lot for them. So my advice would be to just try to empower them, try to keep their spirits up and be open about things.
Support system is really great, and it's necessary. Yeah. Like when I went into the hospital to have my surgery and I had a double mastectomy, my dear, dear, beautiful friend Sally stayed with me. It brings tears to my eyes. She did not leave my side until probably the 10th day after surgery. I went to a hotel afterwards to recuperate after the surgery because I live alone. And she didn't leave my side. And you need that support system. Mm-hmm. And so for you being there, it doesn't matter if you bring her dinner or have lunch or whatever. Just make sure that you're there and you talk about them. You don't sit and talk about you.
Right.
It's all about them until they're feeling stronger and whatever happens.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, well, thank you.
Anyways, I'm a big fan of you guys, and you guys are great.
Thank you so much,
Carol. You guys are helping me with my losses. I lost 3 people in my family last year. But they were old. They were like in their 90s and everything.
Yeah.
So, and it's like I'm going to a support group, and it's helping me a lot, you know, and everything. So
beautiful, Carol.
I appreciate you guys so much. You guys are wonderful.
We appreciate you, too.
Thank you so much, Carol. Hang in there, too.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Oh, so sweet. Thank you so much, Carol. Yes.
Okay, thank you. You have a wonderful day.
You too, Carol.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So,
I have a
Yes, Twitter. Taj, let's hear it.
Twitter question.
Twitter?
I know, I can't
what
even say
saying,
the word.
Taj? Come on, man. Come on,
I jumped the gun.
This
here.
Is your moment to speak. Because Taj handles our social media, and he's already fumbling.
Yeah, if I'm not, like, on the phone, just I'm checking out stuff. Okay. She's probably wondering if I'm, like, just so checking funny. My email or whatever. You're like, this guy's so rude. He's over
here. I'm checking. So unprofessional.
No. I know you a long time. I didn't think you were rude.
Gigi wants to know, did your faith help you stay strong? Like, what did it play a key in?
I'm not religious, I'm spiritual.
Yes.
You know, and so, again, this book of staying strong and saying, I'm going to just deal with what I need to do and not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I took fear out of the equation. Yeah. I just said, I'm going to do what I need to do, and that's what you need. I don't know how to explain it any other way.
No, I understand.
I sound like a wondering, crazy
person
at the moment.
We talked about that earlier. The power or us giving false power to fear.
Right.
How do you get over that? What's did you do things that whatever you were the most scared of, did you just jump and go to tackle your fears or how did that, was it experience in life? How did you learn to beat fear? Because that seems like what you're really strong at and why you're such a strong person.
I just knew that I had to get into the mode to do what I needed to do to get to take care of this cancer. And so I never thought about what's it going to be like going through surgery. Mm-hmm. What's it going to be like having to go through a second surgery? Mm-hmm. You know, how is I just never thought about it. I just went into this, as I said, driver mode, and said, this is what I'm going to do. I was referred to the doctors by the radiologist. Mm-hmm. And so I met the breast surgeon. 3 weeks later, I had the surgery. She had referred a plastic surgeon that she works with, Dr. Elliot Hirsch, who, as far as I'm concerned, this guy's 37 and he's brilliant. Hmm. In 3 weeks, I had breasts back. Of course, I didn't have nipples, but yeah. I have a beautiful chest like a 20-year-old, which has not been like that in a long time. And you got to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I probably drive them crazy, but what I love about my doctors is that I'm kind of a crazy comedian sometimes.
Yeah.
And I get through life making jokes. And I have done that, and they've allowed me to be me. They didn't say, well, this is very serious, and, you know, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to. My oncologist.
You sure?
Yeah, my oncologist said to me, you know, you might want a second opinion. I said, no, I really don't need one. I like you. I'm comfortable with you. Let's just stay here. He says, well, I have a colleague who's really great, but his bedside manner isn't terrific. Now, this guy is very stoic because he's with breast cancer survivors and people that are dying all the time. So I looked at him and I said, his bedside manner doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to sleep with him.
That's great. Just one, yeah.
So you've got to have a sense of self, a sense of humor.
That's great, Lynn.
And I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah. That's great. Our phones are just ringing, so I'm going to keep answering.
Go ahead.
Did you want to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Let's get the phone calls.
Okay. Who do we have on the phone with us right now?
This is Meredith.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi, everyone.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi. I'm fine. I was calling because this topic is actually what I'm dealing with, I guess, for the past 4 years. My father was diagnosed with cancer, I think 2014, and he went through the chemo and radiation treatment, and then I called you guys a couple weeks back and told you about my mom being diagnosed. Well, one thing I hear you talking about, you know, how to get through it, which luckily our faith is strong because hers was stage 4, so it wasn't too much options. She has colon cancer and spread it to her liver, so it wasn't too many more options they could have. I'm thankful that we're almost going on 2 years that she's been treated, but her problem is she's severely allergic to everything. So she was in a hospital about 4 times through chemo, and then radiation just totally knocked her out here recently that they put her back on chemo pills. But what my question is, I'm like her main support system, and I'm a support system for 5 other brothers and sisters that are, you know, that I have still alive, and her family. The problem that I have, and I don't know if this sounds selfish, when you're the support system and people can't talk to the person who's going through it, that everybody depends on you. And to me, does it sound unfair that sometimes that could be too overwhelming for the person that's actually taking care of the person that's going through this illness, like going through all her chemo treatments with her? Because sometimes I would get angry that people would call me and say, well, we know she's resting, or we don't want to bother her, so we'll call you. But I'm thinking, I need my space to deal with it too, especially being a single mom, too, raising 2 girls. So I'm thinking, does that sound selfish?
Not at all. You're human. I mean, you know, what you're feeling is totally human and natural. It's a lot to carry. It's, I don't think that you really have a choice,
yeah.
You know, but you're allowed to feel how you feel.
Meredith, I completely agree with Lynn. I think you're going through it as well, you know. So you're not. It's like having to deliver bad news. It's tough because you're the one who's continuing dealing with this. Where's your escape? Where's your, you know? So don't be hard on yourself. I would just advise you to try to find some time for you,
yeah.
Even more time for you and your girls, because you don't want. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because sometimes it really does get hard. And mm-hmm. like I said, for so many people, with our family being so big, and I am the baby of seven kids. So
wow.
people got to remember how I was raised, and I'm used to everybody, you know, start catering to me, and now I'm the person that's trying to make sure she's okay, make sure her emotions are okay, because even though she's 78, she worked her whole life, so this is hard on her too. So it's like sometimes I even got to block the call that call her, because I don't want people calling her with a depressed mode, making her feel depressed. Like when she first was diagnosed, I told people, don't call, and I hate to make other people feel a certain way because everybody's entitled to their own emotions, but at that time, I just felt she didn't need a bunch of people calling her saying, oh, I'm so sorry, or put that down mode, because she already is feeling that way anyway.
I understand. I think you just got to, you know, I hate to say it like this, but you got to look out for you too.
Just got to set some boundaries.
You got to set boundaries, and you know, you make a list of who's calling, and maybe put them on a group chat. And send out the same text so everyone's updated and everyone feels involved. Because what a lot of people are doing, they care, you know. So you don't want to stop that. You don't want to interfere with their care and their desire to help. But you just need to maybe figure a way out to organize it a bit better, because you don't need to return each and every call, in my opinion. I think you need to figure a way to just, like I said, a group chat, an email chain, you know, call it something uplifting and try to keep everyone updated that way.
That's what I did. I sent out a note on Facebook thanking everybody for their support.
Yeah.
And, you know, had friends reach out and do an e-blast, mm-hmm. letting everybody know
every little thing.
Yeah.
Update.
Yeah, an update. Thank you.
No problem. Because you don't want, like I like to say, is you don't want, your parents don't want you to deal with it. They don't want you to be bogged down by it. They don't want you to be stopping your life, you know, because life is precious and life is quick. You know, I don't know your age, but whatever it is, you're going to be a year older very quickly, you know?
Don't remind us.
I know, and I think I'm a few years older than you guys. But yeah,
you know,
40s,
so
I... Yeah, but I...
I don't... Go ahead. I don't,
like, while you're talking, I do want to say, I'm so sorry. I listened to some of the previous programs. I don't hear you guys when you're asking me questions, so forgive me when I don't answer your questions.
Oh, it's okay.
I hear you now.
It's okay. No, that's all I wanted to say, was just don't forget about yourself. I'd set up some type of group chat, something, so that everyone feels involved. And if you need more help, you should say it. You know, maybe find one of those family members who can help you or gift you a week off or whatever it is. Don't be afraid to say what you need. Don't be shy. It's your life, too, you know.
And there's a wellness community that you can share your feelings with. A lot of the churches, the temples... the cancer organizations, Susan G. Komen, City of Hope, they have all these, the wellness community for the family members of the cancer patients. So there is a lot out there. Just go online and look up wellness community for cancer, and you might really find some comfort in that.
Great. Thank you so much for the phone call, Meredith.
Well, thank you. Thanks for all your help.
Good take care of yourself. Lynn, are you okay answering phone
calls? Absolutely.
They ring a lot usually, but they're just ringing. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to ask Lynn one question.
Sure.
In between.
Yeah.
I was going to ask before. No. What would you say is the biggest difference with you before and after this whole?
I think the biggest difference is that I really, really know how lucky I am. And I thank God every day that I get up in the morning and I have the life that I do.
Do you do anything differently? Do you look at life differently?
I do. I absolutely do. I just stopped whining. You know, I mean that seriously. I feel so blessed, and I am cured. I am one of the lucky ones that I don't have to go through chemo and radiation. It was a wake-up call. You know, I always, I believe in the law of attraction. Have you ever read The Secret?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I go to Agape. I haven't been there for a while since the surgery, but I love Reverend Michael Beckwith. And he talks about the law of attraction, and you get what you put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was following that. But, you know, you get lazy, and things happen in life. And I'll tell you what, there isn't a day that goes by that in the morning and in the evening that I don't say what I'm grateful for. And I am very different, and I'm not angry anymore. The people that used to piss me off,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I'm not angry anymore.
You let them go.
I just let it all go because, you know what? It's just going to make me sick. Mm-hmm. So I am very different. I am very different, Terrell.
That's great. That's great.
So before we take these phone calls, you showed me a picture.
Yes.
That I asked you to text me because I want to post it.
Yeah, please do.
And I'm going to post it now on the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation on Instagram. Mm. While I post it, will you just talk about it?
Well, I have these two gals, Michelle and Robin, who are very dear friends, and we were talking about Reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't think I want to go through the whole thing where they not only put in expanders in after the surgery, which are implants that are empty and they fill them with saline so that you finally get your a contour of your breast again. But I didn't want to deal with the part of the nipple and all of that. And so they said, you've got to see this picture. And they showed me this picture of this woman who is a breast cancer survivor, and she has this beautiful garden of flowers on her breasts. And to me, that says so much more than having them tattoo a nipple or mm-hmm. making a nipple or whatever. And I thought, how empowering, how beautiful is this? And so we found a woman who specializes in breast cancer survivors. And when I have my final implants put in August, and then September, October, I'm going to have my garden of hope and love tattooed. And my motto in this situation is, I conquered my fears and wore my scars like wings. And so I will have butterfly wings on my breast.
That is wonderful. That's awesome. I love that.
That's great. I love that. You had to share it because I'm going to post it so that I want people to know the reason behind it.
Yeah.
But I think it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. I am really excited.
And what's cool, Lynn, is I see you getting a little emotional.
Which is sweet.
All right, we're going to take another phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, this is Jan, and I am Lynn's friend, and I was just trying to get through. She had said, we spoke last week, and she said, oh, Jan, you've got to call in when I'm on the show and have a chance to share some information with people. So
Jan,
I'm
so glad to hear from you.
How are you?
I am fine and dandy. How are you guys?
We are doing great.
So you're going to read your quote that you said to me? It's so beautiful.
I will read the verse.
I'm going to start crying again.
Go ahead, hon. I'm sorry?
I said I'm going to start crying again, but go ahead.
Well, and just very, very quick background. I had breast cancer as well some time ago. And this is something I wrote at that time. I continue to write in this genre, but this is something I wrote at that time. With gratitude and joy, I come before you. I lay down my burdens just as you tell me to. Every cell in my body is healthy. I'm free. No illness, no harm can shackle me. With you, the great healer, I walk each day. With gratitude and joy, I stand before you and say, thank you.
Mm. I love that.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Yeah, I'm crying. There goes the mascara.
There it goes.
Great.
Now, Lynn,
so
don't cry.
Yeah, but I'm so glad that you called in and share that. Wow.
I'm very happy to do that. I have, of course, shared it with many, many people, but it is something that I say every day since I had cancer some years ago, and it's very helpful to me, and I'm very grateful that I've been given the opportunity to write in this way.
And you still say that every day, don't you?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, every single day.
Yeah.
That's part of what I did for myself as I was going through this, and I listened to you when you said you never had it down. I honestly did not either, because it never occurred to me that it wasn't going to be okay. It just didn't.
Right.
And, you know, and part of it, of course, is attitude, but I did prayer and meditation, and I do it every day, and this one I still say every single day. I have many others I use, but this is the one that every day I say.
That's great.
Well,
thank you so much for calling in and sharing it.
Jan, thank you so much.
Jan?
Oh, you are very welcome.
Thank you for sharing that with us so our listeners can hear.
Well, you are very welcome, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share it, because I know it certainly has touched my heart, and I hope it will touch others in a very gentle, healing way.
Beautiful.
We'll talk soon, Jan.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you, Jan.
You betcha.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
What I'm getting, obviously I haven't had cancer, don't know if I'll have cancer, but I'm getting there's a sense of gratitude and yes. a sense of daily, like, I feel like there's a ritual that you get when you come out or when you're dealing with it. I mean, you said you say what you're gratitude for mm-hmm. in the mornings and nights. Jan has her, you know, mm-hmm. what she reads. If I feel like you come out a little bit more, seeing the world a little different.
You do. I now look at what I have instead of what I don't have.
Mm.
And that makes everything very different.
Okay, we're going to take our last and final phone call of the show. Who do we have with us?
Hi, PJ. This is April.
How are you, April?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Good to hear
from
you.
Is this April the birthday girl?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, April.
Happy birthday, April.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're our last caller, too.
Yeah, you're our last caller. What you got for us, April?
Oh, wow. I feel lucky. I was going to call concerning my aunt. She passed away a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, when they first diagnosed her, it was considered benign. She had breast cancer. But at first, they didn't think it was actually cancer. So she went a few years, you know, everything was fine. She was healthy. You know, you never would have guessed that she had any problems at all because she kept a smile on her face. You know, she was just one of those people that just was joyful all the time. But then a year after, well, before she passed, she found out that the cancer was malignant. And it kind of shocked me because, you know, for that long period of time, we was thinking, you know, everything was fine. You know, she was going to be okay. But my question to Lynn is how, you know, when something happens like that, how do you cope with knowing that, you know, all of that time that person was fine and then all of a sudden this happens and, you know, they pass away? Because I've been dealing with that, you know, for a year now because that really hurt me when she did pass away because she was one of my favorite aunts. And she always, I admire her or did admire her because she never showed, you know, any kind of hurt, worrying at all considering what she was going through.
Well,
so how do you, you know, deal with that, you know, when something like that happens?
Well, I think that from what you just described, that was her gift to you to show you how you need to look at this. If she was in such a good place and you're talking about how positive she was, then I think that was
yeah.
her legacy to you. That was her gift to say, you know what? You know, she enjoyed the years that she had and she was positive, and that's what you need to remember instead of thinking about her death. You know, rejoice about her life. Not her death.
Yes. Oh, yes. And every time I think about her now, I see a smile on her face because that's how I remember her.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I saw her, she had this smile. She never frowned. You never knew that she was going through anything because she kept that smile. And I said, I just, you know, admired her because I wanted to be like that myself. So that's why, you know, I try to be now like she was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the things that I try to remember from her, not, you know, the fact that she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I went to the funeral, you know, I didn't go up to the casket because I wanted to remember her like she was. I didn't want to see the person in the casket, you know, mm-hmm. because I felt like that would put negative energy on me toward her. But I wanted to just remember her as that smiling, joyful person. Because she was very spiritual and, you know, she believed that God was going to heal her. You know, he was going to, you know, make everything okay. But I guess he seemed forced to, you know, take her home. So that's how I try to remember her.
Well, then you have your answer then. She's your role model. Then you need to remember that. That's a better answer than I could give you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for the phone call, April.
Oh, you're welcome.
Take care of yourself.
And thank you for the shout out too.
Yeah, happy birthday.
What are you gonna do for your birthday?
Well, actually, I went and done acupuncture. Oh, that's that. But yeah, I went and tried it out this morning. I actually enjoyed it, and plus, I'm going out this evening, so I plan a good day.
All right.
You know what I like? Is that your first time doing the acupuncture?
It is. It sure is.
That's
and I
so
enjoy
cool.
it every minute of it.
That is so cool. You try something different on your day. I love it. I love it.
Yes. I try to do that every year for my birthday. I try to do something different every year because I only get one birthday. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to make it special. So that's what I try to do.
I'm going
to
try to implement something like that. I got mine coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Keep you guys on.
Oh, okay.
April, thank you so much for the phone call. Take care of yourself, okay?
Happy birthday, April.
Okay,
happy
thank birthday. You. Love you guys.
Love
thank
you, too.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was a great show.
Yeah.
Very educational.
Really fast.
It went by really fast. Lynn, I can't thank you enough for being on.
You guys are so welcome. I was talking to TJ before you guys got here, and I so remember your mother. She was the most authentic, mm-hmm. adorable lady. You know, we worked together at Buckley with mm-hmm. the PTA, mm-hmm. and she was really special, and she would be very proud of all of you.
Thank you so much. For our listeners, this is the show. You know what, Lynn? Before I wrap it up, I always give our guests one final say. Is there anything you want to say regarding what our topic was? 20, 30 seconds worth?
Stay positive. Don't be afraid. Make sure you have your daily gratefulness in front of you and enjoy what you have and don't look back.
Mm.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Cool. Okay, well, if that's our show. Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation. If you found our program helpful and can afford to do so, please go to ddjf.com and support the foundation any way you can, because any donation amount helps us support those in need. We want to thank everyone so much for listening in and contributing. I think today's show was really strong. And again, on behalf of my brothers, Lynn, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
Okay. Take care, you guys.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.